Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome to Dublin Arsenal Preview Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the Premier League Preview Show, I'm joined by avid gooner David Sims and by Man United fan Mike to chat in-depth about our match week 23 fixture against bitter rivals Manchester United, now in charge by ex-player Michael Carrick. The Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club are doing a special Stanley Arsenal giveaway on Valentine's weekend. Competition will run in the FA Cup week of the Wigan Athletic fixture. More info on our social channels. So sit back and enjoy this podcast. First things first, the Anton Deck of Costa Rica. I'm a celebrity. 2026. First of all, we're joined by Ava Gooner. He's here. He's actually in Costa Rica now, a few months now. David Sims, better known as Score Guy and X. How are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm very excited about this one. This is, you know, when you look at the fixture list at the start of the season, you know, you go as an Arsenal fan, the first one you look at is when we're playing Spurs, home or away. And the second one you look at is when are we playing Man United, right? Because the history's there. And if you're a gooner of a certain age, as I am, you remember all the games. And we'll come into that. We'll talk about the historic. But there's a reason why this fixture still is a cracking. And also, yeah, it's a cracking part of the season as well. And so I'm expecting a great game tomorrow.
Yeah, it always happens. The second match of the season against Man United seems to happen in January over the last few years. So hopefully that's a good omen for us tomorrow. I'm also joined by an avid Man United fan who's also based in Costa Rica. Mike, how are you, Mike?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. If I'm not a little bit outnumbered, it's all good.
it's a friendly
Never
show. Friendly fire, we call it. Since you're our guest, Mike, and as I ask every away fan that comes on, why Manchester United, Mike?
It was never a decision that I got to make, I'm afraid. You know, I'm from Brighton, so naturally, growing up in the 90s, I was a Man United fan. You know, it was in my family on both sides. Mum and Dad were United fans. I think I must have been about, you know, 12 years old when I realized I didn't live in Manchester. But it was always that way. I was very fortunate to grow up, you know, through that Fergie period in the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, it was just an incredible time to be a fan. You know, we had some lows in that time as well, but obviously those highs outweighed them significantly. So now's a different story, but I'm sure we'll find our way to that shortly.
Yes, yeah, 1999. Less said about that as an Arsenal fan, but what a season that was. Yeah, Ferguson gave plenty of great memories to United fans, and I suppose similar to ourselves with Wenger, we were quite spoiled. 98 up to 2004, we got a brand spanking new stadium in the Emirates in 06, and that cost us quite a lot of money, and cost us kind of progressing as a club, you could say. But thankfully, we're on the right road again. Into our match preview, I suppose we'll kick on and we'll ask Mike a few questions about Man United in more in-depth in the latter part of the show. But into our match preview, of course, Arsenal versus Manchester United, match week 23, as David rightly pointed out, second half of the season, of course, Emirates Stadium tomorrow. Kick-off at 4:30, and that will be on Sky Sports Premier League. The overall head-to-head stats coming into this fixture between the two sides, 72 wins for the Gunners. Man United have 86 victories. Mike would be delighted here. 49 draws. And out of 206 games played. Currently, Man Arsenal are top, as Mike rightly knows. United are fifth, hovering over the Champions League spots. And we're recording at 8:45 on Saturday night, the 24th of January. Liverpool lost 3-2 today away at Bournemouth. So that opens a big incentive for United tomorrow, to go out there tomorrow and try to get back 3 points and get fourth spot. In terms of points wise, 50 points for the Gunners, the Red Devils with 35, 40 goals scored for Arsenal and 38 for United. Previous scores, last three fixtures, of course, this is the repeat of the opening day fixture, 1-0. Ricardo Calafiori scored the goal at Old Trafford. The 9th of March, 1-1. A cracking free kick by Bruno Fernandes. I think Mike will agree on that one at Old Trafford. Declan Rice with a screamer as an equaliser for ourselves. And then the 12th of January last year, of course, was the FA Cup game. Diego Dalot, of course, got sent off for the Red Devils, but United ended up beating us on penalties. A bitterly cold night. A few facts coming into the game, lads. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta has won 67% of his 12 Premier League games against Man United. 1-8, drew 2, lost 2. The highest win rate of any manager to face them at least 5 times. Arsenal are looking to complete their 5th Premier League double over Man United after 97-98, 01-02 season, 06-07 and 23-24. They won 1-0 at Old Trafford in the reverse fixture, but have only won both league meetings with the Red Devils without conceding in 1901-02 in the second tier. Arsenal have only conceded 90 goals in 118 Premier League games with William Saliba, as David will tell you, on the pitch, on average of every 150 minutes. Among Gunners players to play 10,000 minutes in the competition, only Tony Adams, one in every 118 minutes, has a better ratio. So that was quite, when I read that today, that's quite outstanding, really, from where Saliba has come in short space of time, really, only his third full season as such. Arsenal have won each of their last 4 Premier League home games against Man United. Are you scared, Mike? the longest home winning run by any one side in the competition. The last team to win 5 in a row in the league. Would anyone like to guess this one?
Oh, it's got to be Man City, hasn't it?
Mike, would you like to have a guess?
Oh, I mean, Liverpool, perhaps?
It was actually West Brom between 1976 and 1980.
Wow.
So if you're in a pub tonight and you're watching this, wow, there you go. That's the winning prize. Recent form, Arsenal have won 3 of the last 5 matches in all competitions, including draws in our last 2 Premier League games, both scoreless draws against Forest away last weekend and Liverpool at home. Man United's last 5 fixtures, 1-1, drawn 3 and lost 1. And of course, Michael Carrick's first game was last weekend in charge. A 2-0 victory over City, and I have to say I was really, really impressed by United. City had a lot of injuries now, to say the least, but that was very impressive and a complete shift in tactics from Ruben Amorim. You could see the players seemed to settle better. I know Carrick was an ex-player, but you could just see a new energy in them, and that would kind of worry me tomorrow. In terms of clean sheets, lads, David Ray with 11. He's flying this season for us. And Senny Lemons with 3 clean sheets. Top scorers coming into this game for both sides. Mbeumo with 7, who's had a really impressive start to his Manchester United career since coming from Brentford. Gyökeres, Fernandes and Trossard have 5 goals each. Casemiro with 4, who's leaving the course this week at the end of the season for United. Sesko, Cunha, Eze, Saka and Rice with all 4 goals between them. Assist-wise, Fernandes has 9, Trossard with 4, Dorga with 3, Timber has 3, alongside Saka, Rice, Moreno and Odegaard all in 3, and Amad Diallo and Ricardo Calafiori have 2. Coming into this fixture, David, this is always a massive game. The Wenger and Fergie rivalry back in the day really stoked the fire, I think, for this fixture. New era now, Arteta in charge since 2019. United have had a good few managers since then. How do you feel coming into this game tomorrow? Are you feeling hungry for this one?
Well, you know, we've been on a journey already, haven't we, to get to where we are. And I feel that this is going to be another difficult game tomorrow because we're up against the old enemy. As Mike knows, you know, we've had huge... I mean, Arsenal's history is intertwined in so many ways with Manchester United's history. Because when we in the past, when we were doing well, United weren't. But when United were doing well, we weren't doing well. And they were the two biggest clubs for a 10, 12-year period. Yeah. You know, there was no new money Chelsea. There was no new money City. It was Man United or Arsenal. And they battled. Fergie and Wenger battled. And, you know, we've had the Arteta-Pep battle for the last 6-7 years for Arteta, and he hasn't had one over him. right? But Wenger managed to get over onto Fergie. And they were just great games. And I think tomorrow, it's quite interesting how you started the show by saying that Liverpool lost to Bournemouth and that gives United the chance to come in. I think that helps Arsenal because, as we discussed previously, United, and Mike, you'll obviously be able to give your tactics, but I was concerned they were going to come play with a low block, like a really deep low block, and try and break us, do us on the break as they did with City. But, you know, they've got an opportunity here. I know it's against Arsenal, but they've got an opportunity to get into the fourth place and leapfrog Liverpool tomorrow. And so they might come out a little bit more progressive. And obviously, we want to play football. And that might give us a chance. But listen, as we know, no one except Mikel Arteta tonight knows what team we're starting tomorrow. You can't put Arsenal's team down on paper because the strength and the way that it's the first time the whole season we've got our full squad. I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue who he's going to be putting on there. So it's going to be tactically a chess game for a period. And I think Arsenal will come out very, very quick. But, you know, United have got players back, you know, and they're getting a system. And, yeah, Carrick is going to be confident because the last time he stepped in, they won. What was it? 2 years ago or whatever, the 3-2. Obviously, Arsenal are a completely different team to that now. I mean, it's a different world. But atmosphere is going to play in a lot. We're at home. The atmosphere will be electric. I'm really interested to hear what Mike's views are going to be. How do you think your tactics are going to be, Mike?
I think we'd be silly to not set up exactly like we did against City. I think if we go out there and we make some sort of switch where we're looking more defensive, Arsenal are going to know before the whistle goes that we're concerned. I think the best thing we can do is, we can leapfrog Liverpool going to fourth, but Arsenal are also thinking, okay, we dropped some points. City won again today. Arsenal think if we slip up today, if we get 1 point or no points, then it starts, then those murmurs of bottling it come in again, which I don't think is completely fair, but they start, the whispers come back in.
Yeah.
So if United come out confident, for me, if United go one up early, I think we'll get done, basically. United have to come out confident. We have to confidently stay in the game for the first half. We have to be competitive. We have to show that we're there to play, show that we're there to win. And then push on. Equally, if we go a goal down early, I think those old scars are going to open up again and we might be there for the taking. So I think the most important thing for United is to be confident but not reckless. Go at Arsenal, but much like against City, when we lose the ball, we find our shape. And when we get the ball, we push forward. Yeah. That's the one thing we've been missing. This season, how many games I've watched where we've gone on to draw and it's been the 93rd minute, and we've got the ball in midfield, and we pass it back to the centre-back. And I'm going, just loft it forward. Just get it. I mean, I remember going back to when we beat City 4-3, the Michael Owen goal. That was just a hoof into the box that found its way to Giggs, who found it to Owen and went in the back of the net. There was no sort of like, oh, let's just, you know, push it backwards, push it back, play it safe. We've got to go at them tomorrow and see if they're feeling the pressure, because, you know, they're going to feel some pressure. You know, it's only natural to feel a bit of pressure. But let's see, I guess, is it going to be a game of chicken, I think?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you talk about pressure. Go on, Jonathan.
Yeah, sorry, Mike. The summer signings from Amorim, I was quite impressed with, because in Bruma in particular, he looks so more athletic now than he done at Brentford. You know, he's really trimmed down, I think, in the last couple of months. Matheus Cunha from Wolves was a real steal, you know, and Benjamin Sesko starting to find a bit of form, and Lammens is quite a good keeper as well, you know, give him time and I think he'll definitely be the number one. If you were given a team sheet tomorrow, Mike, what would your first 11 be? Or do you, you know, who do you think, would it be similar to the Manchester City game for Michael Carragher? Do you think a few jigs here and there?
I think, assuming everyone's fit, it should be the same 11.
Yeah,
I think it's exactly the same, because whatever clicked well and it clicked early. You know, bar a couple of offsides, one questionable offside, we could have won that game 5 or 6 nil.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have been a shock result neither, to be honest. No.
So I think Arsenal would have seen that game. They're going to have, you know, analysed that game. But I think from both teams, one thing that I've... The United of old, and I'm not going to go into the whole DNA thing. I've got mixed feelings about the DNA stuff. But I never understand when a team's set up to stop another team. When you're a big club, when you want to win a game, it should be the role of the other team to stop you. When you start tweaking your formation, that's when you interrupt the fluidity that you're trying to create or that you created the week previously. We've got no other competitions now, which pains me to say it, but at the same time, the situation we find ourselves in, it's a blessing.
I think so,
So they've had all week to just focus on this one game. And I think the same set of players, another week to gel, another week to kind of build that unity. And yeah, fingers crossed they can go out there and even show signs of what they showed last week. You know, it's a sad day when, you know, you hear a lot of United fans say, oh, you know, we lost, but we looked good. You know, does it matter? You know, I don't think it really matters if you look good and you lose. I think I want to see him compete and, you know, see what Arsenal are made of. Let's make Arsenal, you know, earn this championship.
I think as well, Dave, to get Steve Hollins as an assistant to Carrick, that was a big coup, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look, he's got the character, hasn't he? He's from within. It's a bit like Arteta at our club, you know. He's come from within. They've been clever. They're looking at bringing someone in who is going to calm the ship, who's done it before. And of course, they brought him in. You know, it was a nightmare. You think his first two games, City and Liverpool, and City and Arsenal. I mean, can he get any worse? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so he's relishing that. And I think it's, you know, as we've said, but just to talk about the whole pressure thing here, I talk about this on the podcast every time we do this. Arsenal are developing, learning. Arteta's learning. We're picking up scalps on the way. You know, we've just been into Milan in the week, played incredibly well. Everything was coming together in that game. You could really see it. And if we're going to go on and win things, you know, and more than one thing, we're going to have to get better as a team, and we're going to have to get this bottle thing shaken off our back, and we're going to have to improve and be more killer, and we're going to have to beat teams like Manchester United, how much history and big they are, every week. Do you know what I mean? Because that's the level. Certainly the Champions League has been going to the latter stages. So to me, I see this like a Champions League quarterfinal tomorrow, where it's all to play for, and we've drawn Man United in that competition, and the atmosphere is going to be electric. You know, you're saying Man United are, you know, they've only got one, they're only playing in one competition, but they are playing against Arsenal, and those old rivalries, they will come up. Carrick will be up for it. Arteta will be up for it. The fans will, on both sides. And I think it's going to be an absolute cracker. I really do.
It's going to be
very looking forward to it.
The one matchup I'm not really looking forward to is up front, Victor Gyökeres and Benjamin Sesko. Last summer, it's summer just gone, of course, there was so much talk about who would each other go to, you know, and both are, Sesko in particular is kind of coming into a bit of form than Gyökeres, but as David said, goals against Chelsea and against Inter Milan, that should give him a bit of fire, Gyökeres a bit of fire as well. So you never know where you're going to see from them two strikers, you know, which would be quite interesting, I think.
I think, you know, if you look at Arsenal team, we talk about who we're going to play. You know, we have like a golden eight players now in our team that are all absolutely, I think, some of the best players in Europe. You know, Saka, Rice, Trossard, Zubimendi, Gabriel, Timber, Raya and Saliba. Yes. These are just names now that are literally, you know, Timber's possibly the best in his position. Rice is absolutely outstanding. Saka has started to come back in the last few games and create. Trossard has been a revelation for us since he signed his new contract. Zubimendi, signing of the season, absolutely amazing. And then you've got Raya at the back and Gabriel and Saliba. I mean, it's just... You know, and then we've just got to make some other changes around there. So, yeah, I mean, look at how many games we've lost, look at how many goals we've conceded. But listen, this is like a cup football. As I say, it's a cup final tomorrow and anything can happen. And there will be a niggle as well. There will be a good niggle in this game. Fernandes will be going for it with Rice. There's going to be some yellow cards. You know, the brawls that we've had with, I think we've brawled with Man United on the pitch more than any other team in our history and vice versa. Even Man United haven't brawled with City as much as they've brawled with Arsenal in the past. You know, so yeah, a nice punch up, that would be good, wouldn't it?
And it's going to be quite interesting in the Sky Sports studio. Patrick Beard and Roy Keane will be sitting beside each other. I just love that. Beard is so cool and calm, and Roy Keane is so bullheaded. You know, he gets wound up by anything. And of course, we'll have Gary Neville probably in co-com, so we're going to be outnumbered as usual on Sky Sports, but hopefully the result can shut them up. It's been kind of, you could kind of say, Mike, United have been in a transition period since Ferguson left in 2013. Arsenal have had that when Wenger left, but it's only taken us 6 and a bit years to get back on the road. Has this worried you as a United fan, how long it's taken to get over Sir Alex Ferguson? And in your opinion, where do you think it's gone wrong? Is it the board, in your opinion?
When did Arsenal last win the Premier League? 03?
2004.
Four. So, you know, you could argue it's been a slightly longer transition period than when Wenger left. I think the issue that both clubs had is you don't get managers like that anymore. I mean,
yeah,
Mourinho was kind of heading there and then something happened and he just dropped off.
Yeah.
I think Pep seems to have... I was really surprised when Pep went to City. I remember where I was when I found out, and I thought it almost felt like him going to Real Madrid, like a bit dirty. Like, oh, really? Like, after all his sort of values in the Barcelona kind of academy and that kind of style. And I think United tried to just kind of continue Fergie through another Scotsman.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think they never could have anticipated just how bad that first season without him would have gone. Had Moyes finished third or fourth, he might still be there now for all we know. You know what I mean? It was just shock of being like, oh my God, like, I think we finished seventh that season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And where it's gone wrong, I think maybe leaning too heavily on the past. I think, you know, I touched on the DNA a minute ago. I do get that teams tend to stick to a style of football. But let's not forget, these players are professional football players. You know, they're not professional wingbacks or, you know, like they've played in previous teams, previous systems. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility for Amorim to make his system work in a Man United shirt. I think maybe a lot of pressure comes from the outside, where when it doesn't quite go right the first time, they start to question it and it starts to, you know, he should change it back and he should do this. And you got Gary Neville, who, club legend, but not exactly a managerial legend, you know, giving him managerial advice.
He's a draw specialist, I'll give him that. But he's...
Right? And I think, again, you know, going down to our recruitment, I mean, I was watching the Bournemouth-Liverpool game today and Gakpo's playing. And I remember when we bought Antony was our priority and Gakpo was our sort of like, you know, oh, if Antony's too expensive, we'll go for Gakpo.
Yeah.
Well, look who's still in the Premier League having an impact and look who's disappeared. I can't...
Betis he's with now.
You mentioned David Timber as well. Timber was also linked with Man United before he went to Arsenal.
True, yeah.
As were most of the Ajax squad, to be fair. But you know, I think Gary Neville referred to United as like a graveyard for players. I think something is happening behind the scenes. Now, look, the Glazers were in charge when Ferguson was having all the success in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, leave them alone, they're doing nothing wrong, but I think it's, you know, a bit convenient to just go, oh, get the owners out, because there's turbulence at all sorts of clubs all the time. When it comes to the pitch, it's 11 versus 11.
Yeah.
And I think there's sometimes too much, it's too easy to say, oh, it's because of the problem in the boardroom. Well, the players are on the training pitch. Like, you know, it depends on how they're preparing. And you know, the modern game has a lot more distractions. You know, players now, they walk into the dressing room and probably before they've had a shower, they're looking at what Gary Neville said about them on Twitter or whatever. You know, that didn't happen for you. You know, you got like...
He normally looks at what I've said about him, to be honest with you. Yeah. He's normally looking at my see what I've said about him this week.
Right. You know. So I think there's an element of that. I mean, I think Wayne Rooney famously mentioned how when we lost, it might even have been to Arsenal. I forget who we lost to, but Jesse Lingard and Pogba are dancing in the dressing room the next morning at training. All these little things where Ferguson was the headmaster and then these other managers came in. And obviously there wasn't quite that same discipline and standard.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they dropped off. And maybe even Arsenal was the same. I think Wenger got a lot of criticism on his way out. I don't think it was fair. As a United fan, I actually felt bad for him in those final few years because he was doing his best to steer Arsenal in the right direction with no money, essentially. Pay off the stadium.
Yeah.
And I think had he not steadied that ship, they did pretty well in those years. They didn't win much. But they weren't dropping down to 7th and 11th like Man United have in recent
years. Yeah, we kept consistently qualifying for the Champions League group stage, which was quite remarkable considering we were losing one or two top players a season due to him not wanting to put the club in debt, in fairness to Wenger. You know, he probably cared too much about the club and that got in the way, maybe, you know, in the football sense. But he could see what he was doing. You know, he saw other clubs going to the wall, you know, that wanted to make a big leap, you know, like Leeds, you know, he would have been an example of that. To, you know, got big quick and then you'd see them in the championship, you know. So do you think as well, Mike, with Ferguson being there nearly every home game and Roy Keane saying it there a couple of weeks ago on the telly, he's like a bad smell around Old Trafford. Do you think it's time for Ferguson kind of just to step back and not be there, you know, and let the club move on?
I think it depends on what's really happening. I mean, I think we all know that Keane and Ferguson haven't yet, you know, put their handbags down.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that's all. It's just some you know, silly thing that's still going on all these years later.
Yeah.
I think, is Ferguson really involved heavily? I don't think he is. Is him being there a problem? You know, maybe he could tuck himself away a bit more, be a bit less visible.
Visible, yeah.
But if I was a Man United player, if I was a younger coach, I'd want him around to pick his brain. You know, like, I'm sure that Arteta, if he wasn't fighting against Guardiola, would be on the phone to Guardiola. He might talk to Wenger. Like, these are once in a generation sort of types of managers that we're talking about. So it depends on the reality of how much this is. I think is again the problem with someone like Roy Keane, where he'll say what I think before it kind of passes through the filter in his brain, it's already come out of his mouth, and then there is a headline, isn't it? And I think maybe if he was a slightly different character, he might admit that was maybe the wrong thing to say, or maybe he could have worded it better, or maybe he knows more than what we know. Maybe Ferguson really is hanging around like an old smell and getting in the way of stuff and the progress and pushing managers in and then forcing them to be pulled back out again. You know, who knows? So
I think ex-player pundits, Mike, sorry, that come on, the likes of Gary Neville, who had a really poor track record as a Valencia manager, and Roy Keane, he'd stints at Sunderland and Ipswich and didn't quite go to plan, like Wayne Rooney at Plymouth and Derby. You know, to criticise the United managers that have come and gone, right, he didn't have great records, but at least they gave it a go. You know, like something that they've tried giving it a go and they've flopped at. You know, sometimes as they're ex-players of the club, but as pundits, is it just to make controversy, you know, and heap more pressure on managers, do you think?
I think, you know, if we look at Arteta, now, for me, my main memory of him was an Everton player, right? He went to Arsenal sort of like the latter end of his career, and he wouldn't be in anybody's greatest 11 of all time, right? Yes. He was a solid player.
He's a solid great, player, yeah.
Yeah, great, solid team player.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of segues into someone like Michael Carrick. Now, I think a lot of the issues that sometimes these great players have when they go into coaching or managing is they're managing players who haven't got the same vision that they had. Yeah. So imagine you're Wayne Rooney in the League One or the Championship, and you're trying to coach a striker who's just never going to be on your level ever. And then Carrick, Carrick is maybe similar. Carrick went to Middlesbrough. He did all right. Something went wrong, out of a job. Maybe someone like him coming in, who knows what it takes to be a core team member. Carrick, for me, someone like Park Ji-sung, won't necessarily make your greatest United 11 of all time, but he's an honourable mention where, you know, these are the kind of players that showed up for the team. I think Arteta was similar. And they're having that ability to be more in the background and observe these great players they're playing with, maybe helps them manage great players in the future.
There's been many a great fixture, Davis, down the years. I know 2003 at Old Trafford, Van Nistelrooy missed that penalty they hit the crossbar. That Jens
Lehmann... Can I just mention that? Can I just mention that first?
You were at this game, David. Describe that atmosphere.
I was at that game, and a good friend of mine who was from Brighton, in fact, Mike, massive Arsenal fan. He's no longer with me now. He was a giant of a man. He was about 6'5". Tom, God bless you, Tom. He picked me up by my hair and held me like a doll, right? And was shaking me, right? When that penalty hit the crossbar, and I can close my eyes and I can still hear the sound of that ball bouncing off that crossbar. It was unbelievable, because obviously that kept our invincibility. Yeah. Then we had the big fight with Keown and the arms and everything. Yeah. And it was just, you know, it was a huge thing because, you know, Van Nistelrooy had simulated being kicked by Vieira and never even laid a glove on him. And it was just one of those games that had everything in there, all the spice. Also, you know, we had Wenger being sent to the stands and doing his famous crucifix in the stand at one time, which was unbelievable memory.
Patrick Vieira and Roy Keane down the tunnel, David. Gary Neville leaving me alone.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was at Highbury. And, you know, and then the great goal, Henry's unbelievable flick goal in 2000, was, you know, the flick up and the volley over the top over Bartosz. Listen, these games are amazing. I mean, my favourite game, obviously, was when I was at Old Trafford in 2002 and we won the league up there with Wiltord. May the 8th. What a great night. Yeah. You know, these are all, you know, the mass brawls, the penalties, the, you know, the ending our 49th undefeated run up at Old Trafford with Rooney doing a little swim dive and you know, we can talk about that for hours, I'm sure, Mike. But you know, these are all moments. These are all historic moments that both set of supporters remember. You know, I would say probably the winning up the Old Trafford. I mean, I tell you, my ultimate low was old Hairy Chest goal by Giggsy in 99 on the way to you winning, you know, at Villa Park. You know, Keane gets himself sent off. Bergkamp comes up to have the penalty, misses the pen, and then Giggs goes down the other end and wins it. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm sure you do, Mike. You know, these are all huge, huge moments in a combined history. And the other thing I will say is, whatever the result tomorrow, but Arsenal Football Club needs a strong Manchester United. I know this sounds crazy, but what's happened in the last few seasons is Man United have not been at the races. And so they haven't been taking the points off. I mean, they did the right job last weekend. Thank you very much. We talked about that, Mike. You know, but we need, Liverpool needed stopping. Man City needed stopping. And nobody was putting anything up against them over the last, certainly last season and a few seasons before. And Arsenal can't do it all on their own. Do you know what I mean? We need a competitive Premier League. And the Premier League needs to be competitive. And this season, I think we've really got it because, you know, Bournemouth are beating Liverpool now, you know, and United are beating City. I know that sounds crazy, but that wouldn't have happened, you know, that didn't happen last year or the season before. So we need this to happen. We need the points being shared around. You know, so yeah, I'm thoroughly looking forward to tomorrow. I've got a question for you, Mike, though, because obviously us as Arsenal fans are very excited. We're talking about trebles and quadruples and all of these wonderful things.
Great time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive.
I just want to win one thing to begin with, and that's beat City in the Carabao Cup final to start. But you know, What's it like to win the treble? I would like to know.
Yeah.
As in,
yeah.
You've been there in 99.
Yeah, I mean, I believe I was 11 years old when we won the treble, and I remember when the equalizing goal went in, I ran to my front door and I just screamed out the front door. I have no idea why. That's my memory of the equalizing goal. I think I just got back into the living room when Solskjaer famously scored that winner, and it was just that was the you know, it's the cliche of that's what champions do. And I think Arsenal have done that a few times this year. There's been games where they've been heading for a point and they've just squeezed out a win.
Yeah.
And I think that doesn't mean to sound disrespectful. Sometimes squeezing out a win is what you have to do to be a champion. So winning the treble that year, there were so many reasons why we shouldn't have won that. You know, like you said, the penalty missed by Bergkamp in the semi-final. You know, being down to 10 men in that semi-final. The game against Juve we had in the Champions League as well. It's the kind of thing that sticks with you forever. And I think, interestingly, just to get a little digging at Man City, everyone's kind of got over them doing the treble because everyone knows that, you know, they've probably got a receipt for it somewhere. So I think Man United winning it has stuck around because it was that core, you mentioned, David, that core group of players that you're now talking about. We had that core group then. And some squad players. Jesper Blomqvist started the 99 Champions League final. Now, you know, we're not talking about one of the greatest players here of all time in a Man United shirt. So having those players that can step up to do that for you. I think if Arsenal were to go on and do it, I think it would be a hell of an achievement. And it would go down easily alongside United with City buried somewhere underneath it.
I'd just like to mention a few ex-players that play for both, just to kind of to whet the appetite. Alexis Sanchez played for both. Robin van Persie.
Arguably.
Hendrik Mkhitaryan, which he had a good stint at Arsenal. I liked him as a player.
Yeah. Mikkel
Silvestre. They said about him the better. Danny Welbeck and, of course, Aidan Heaven. Your favourite goal from this fixture, Davis, with 2 minutes remaining?
Henri's goal got to be the flick up and over his shoulder. I mean, it's got to be. It's one of Henri's, you know, running. He scores and he does his old shark TT thing, and off he goes. And it's what's up?
Yeah, the celebration.
Yeah, what's up?
I was actually looking at one today. Actually, another one that sticks out actually from Henri was the header in the very last minute when we won 2-1. Robin van Persie got the equaliser from Wayne Rooney's opening goal. He actually broke his foot, actually, which is quite remarkable. Mike, with a minute and a half remaining, what's your favourite goal from this fixture as a United fan?
I'm going to cheat. I'm going to do a Champions League one. It was the breakaway goal at the Emirates with it. Ronaldo finished in the 3-1 at the Emirates. Yeah, that was something else.
Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, thank you.
That broke my heart. You were 2-0 up, I think, after about 11 minutes. I rushed from work to get into this Dublin city centre and I was gone home by half time. What a waste of time. We met United, I think, nearly in the last four or last eight of the Champions League and two or three seasons back to running. And I think United knocked us out. And I think, am I correct, John O'Shea got the winning goal in the first leg at Old Trafford? I think it was. We were 1-0 down, I think, at that stage. I think it was O'Shea got the goal. That score prediction, Davis, tomorrow.
I'm going to make it really easy. I'm just going to say it's going to be Arsenal 2-1.
And I want to say a couple of red cards, a lot of yellow cards, and a hard-fought 3-1 victory. Mike?
I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. I think we might even be 2-1 up and you might, you know, squeeze out that important point towards the end somewhere.
You need to stop drinking down Pina Coladas, pal. Or a full of bottomy straight across. That's the disillusionment of United fans, but we could eat our words, you never know. We hope to have Mike back on Monday show. If you're free, Mike, for our review show, be great to have you back.
It'd be a pleasure.
Be great to have yourself on and Eamon and Davis. Catch our show on the Dublin Arsenal YouTube channel and also on Spotify. And the game, of course, is on Sky Sports here in the UK and Ireland. Not too sure where Costa Rica, but I'm sure you'll find a channel over there, lads. Thanks very much for watching. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll be back for the review show. Come on, you Gooners.
Go on, you gooners.